pass this on to Bruce. That's the future. But in order to understand the future, you really need to also understand the past. And that is where Bruce is an expert.
So it's 1984. There's a company called Ma Bell, also known as AT&T. And AT&T owns all of the state utilities in the United States, or at least 80%. There's another company called GTE that owns pretty much the rest of them, and there's some other independents. But essentially, one company owned all the wires. And these wires were basically required by the Telecom Act of 1934 that said everybody in the United States is entitled to a phone service, and that phone service will be delivered over a copper wire, and it will go to everybody's home and everybody's office, and everybody's entitled to it. And this is known as carrier of last resort. No matter where you are, no matter what you are, the state utility, you have to be served. This law, in 1984, they decided to break up AT&T because the other services, such as being able to use other companies use local service or other companies offering long distance, which was the big pie. Long distance is a call between states. The long distance market was priced at a point where it was 50 cents a minute, where local service was basically $8. And so there were some subsidies between the two, but MCI, a scrappy little company, wanted to go out with a lot of lawyers, wanted to go out and get into the long distance business, so they broke up AT&T in 1984. And so in 1984, there were 7 baby bells created around the United States. Now, the baby bells were fat babies because they were like, there was one called 9X, which was from Maine to New York. There was Bell Atlantic from New Jersey down to Virginia. And there was in California, there was Pacific Telesis, which was California and Nevada. And there's these other companies. So essentially, they divided the world into 7 big land companies known as regional Bell operating companies, and they controlled various state utilities. So the state utility in California would be Pacific Bell, and in New York it was New York Telephone, and then 9X New York. Now, as the future was coming, 1991, and Al Gore suggests that we should take those copper wires, and which are basically, some of them have been put in since the 1920s, and 1930s, and 1940s. In fact, by 1970, pretty much all of America was wired with a copper wire. And the plan was to replace that wire with a fiber optic wire that would go to people's homes and would basically compete with cable, which was the big other service that was starting to get noise. Now, in the 1990s, so Al Gore says we should have the information superhighway, and we should have it as government-funded. And then the phone companies said, no, we, the phone companies, will definitely rewire our states if you just give us the right to go out and do this and what they call price caps, which is we need a lot more money, so we're going to charge consumers, but we'll keep the price flat, and we will use the extra money to build out these networks than pay for construction. So in New Jersey, for example, 100% of the state of New Jersey, which was 95% of the state of New Jersey, which was now Verizon New Jersey, but was called New Jersey Bell, was supposed to have 45 megabit speeds starting in both directions starting in 1996 and have the state completed by the year 2010. In California, 5.5 million households were supposed to be upgraded to fiber optics by the year 2000, and Pac Bell said they were spending $16 billion to do this. Every state had some plan that was basically changed the laws that gave them what they call price caps so they can go out and rewire that state and replace it. But the laws were changed, so now fiber optics was the new standard in many of the states. This part has been slowly forgotten over time. So by the year 2000, which was supposed to have half of America almost relatively completed, they had done nothing. And in every state, basically, they had collected billions per state and didn't do anything. So this first phase, in 2004, I wrote a book called The 200 Billion Broadband Scandal, which said, by the year 2004, none of the companies had done any of the fiber optic wiring, except some states, like Ohio and Wisconsin, and they had rolled out cable services over a fiber optic wire. Now, by 1996, the situation changes. So let me just go back. So we have 93, they announced all the fiber optic wires. In 96, they said these wires should be open to all competitors. And this was done by, and then AT&T, which had become a long-distance company, and MCI, which has become a long-distance company, wanted in on the local networks. And so they said, listen, you have to open up these networks so that we can offer both local and long-distance service to customers. And so in 1996, the Telecommunications Act passed. It also allowed small, independent Internet service providers to offer services to the United States. By the year 2000, there were 9,335 independent ISPs that were offering Internet service to the majority of the United States. And so what you had was the Telecommunications Act in 1996 said, okay, we're opening all these wires. Any company could use them for all these different services. And so that was trend number one. Trend number two, the Internet hit, and that was because of the small Internet service providers. And so suddenly everybody wanted to go online, and they were very excited about using dial-up, which was to use the regular phone line for broadband because the broadband networks weren't built. And the third part of this was the companies decided, well, you know, we, in order to get to compete with these other new companies, we have to merge. So what happened was SBC, Southwestern Bell, which had Texas and some other states, Oklahoma, it basically started buying the other Bells. It bought Pac Bell, which is in California. It bought an independent known as SNET, which was Connecticut. And so the mergers of these companies should never have happened because they didn't want to compete. They just wanted to merge. By the end of 2007, they had all merged into three basic companies. Which was AT&T had now 21 states it controlled, Verizon on the East Coast, and essentially had a thing called GTE, which is spread around the country, which they sold off, most of those products, and there was US West, which turned into Quest, which turned into CenturyLink, which was the western states, such as Washington and the Dakotas. However, so we have these companies that the third trend was they decided to merge. By 2000, we have a takeover of the FCC by the Republican Party, and they decide, well, and they convince the FCC that we really we're losing money on these networks now. You know, this competition is really harming us. We've merged, and if you get rid of all the competitors, we will be glad to go out and offer fiber optic broadband, of which people forgot that there was already a plan to offer fiber optic broadband a decade ago. And so this is phase two. They said, we will roll out Fios and we will roll out UVerse if we can open up the networks to get rid of all the competitors. And so in 2005 and 6, 7,000 Internet service providers went out of business, small ones. And the companies that were supposed to, the AT&T said, we're going to offer UVerse. Now, they consolidated a little more. They took over the long-distance companies, and so AT&T bought – so SBC at Southwestern Bell, who had merged with all the other ones, took over AT&T and took its name. So you suddenly had and Verizon took over MCI, and so what you basically had was a scene where they got rid of all the competitors. The only thing left was going to be cable, and the only time and so what you had was all of these companies now suddenly saying, we're going to roll out fiber again. Verizon goes and said, we're going to roll out Fios. And AT&T said, we're going to roll out UVerse. And AT&T didn't tell anybody that UVerse was going to be a copper to the home service using the old copper wires, and that basically they would just reclassify it as a no longer part of the state utility because it's now broadband and known as an IP service. And Verizon was supposed to replace all the wires with Fios in different states under cable franchises this time. And so by the time Verizon left, did about 40% of their territories. AT&T basically never rolled out. They rolled out UVerse, but except by the year 2017, AT&T has 3 million total fiber optic wires out of 76 million locations it covers. Verizon has about 40% of their states covered, and there's giant holes and gaps, and they stopped. Now, in 2007, the iPhone hits. And suddenly, oh, my God, we should be a wireless company. So we found was in by 2010, Verizon had stopped, AT&T had stopped, and they decided to take their budgets and start moving them in from the state utility and start moving them into the wireless company. of which in 2010 Verizon did a wholesale move of the networks, so they weren't even working on the wires anymore, and they moved all the CWA and IBEW union staff to do the wireless networks. We know this from interviews with those guys. Now, all of these were cross-subsidized. All these lines of business, we found out later that, as Mark said, all the costs had suddenly been manipulated, which we did not know about. It took us years and years to figure this out. And the bottom line was, at the end of the day, they were able to take the budgets that were supposed to go for the state utility and move it to all the other lines of business, and basically through the FCC's rules, and nobody caught them. And nobody ever saw this because they started erasing all the accounting, and they started erasing all the documentation. So in 2007, the FCC stopped publishing the data. And the only reason why we could take this case is because Verizon was required in the state of New York to publish full annual reports every year. Now, just so you know, in 2010, we started finding all the stuff out, but we didn't know what it meant. 2011, 12, 13, and 14, we started writing reports. 2015, we sort of put together the regulators because we now had guys who understood the accounting and how they tied back to the FCC's rules, which we did not know. And in 2015, we filed a complaint with for an investigation. And in 2018, there was a settlement in New York and they were required to do 32,000 lines of fiber in unserved areas in 2018, and also maintain the copper wires, which they stopped maintaining since the 90s. So we now have a totally deteriorating plant throughout the United States. The wireless services are being built out of the local phone state utility budgets. And the big money, the really big money, is the corporate operations expense. In New York, because of the FCC rules, local service, one category, which had 22% of the revenues, paid $1.8 billion in corporate operations expense, which was set by the FCC's rules in the year 2000, and that's never been audited. And that corporate operations expenses, the executive pay, the lawyers that were used to get rid of net neutrality, the golf tournaments, it's never been audited, and it is a giant pot of money. So our take on the case is, first, we're exposing all this stuff, because nobody's ever seen this before, not even us. And so we can't really blame anybody for not knowing all these stories, because essentially we didn't really know them for the last couple of years. And now the goal is all this money, if we started to reallocate it back to where it belongs, there would be billions of dollars per state to upgrade the state. That's what we believe. Nobody's gone after the money, and each state, by the way, is different. Because of ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, they've been erasing and dismantling the state utilities. Many of them don't collect the information anymore, like California. They don't look at the books. And so when suddenly there's a wake-up call, which is the stuff that we have in New York, the data, we believe that the rest of the states could wake up and tie it to net neutrality, and tie it to all of the other things like stopping the 5G deployments, because essentially 5G is not profitable when it has to pay for the wires that are being put in. Now, we're talking about an incredible amount of money. As Mark said, it's $50 to $60 billion annually that we think is out there that we can go after. So this case was sort of in the works for at least 5 years. We filed at the FCC 18 separate documents and filings since 2015 in this one proceeding. And I have to say, I'm incredibly proud to be an irregulator. So I turn it over to Chuck.